Will you please turn with me to Lamentations chapter 3? Lamentation is a book that was written by an eyewitness. An eyewitness of the siege and fall of Jerusalem to Babylon. This is one of the books that helps us get a perspective on some of the difficulties that we face in this world. I'm going to read from verse 17 to 26. Lamentations picks up where Jeremiah lives, and it's actually believed to have been written by Jeremiah as he was lamenting the fall and the siege of Jerusalem, the city of God. He says from verse 17, I've been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone and all that I had hoped from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. And here at Southside Bible Fellowship, we believe that since the Bible is the word of God and we are God's children, then the Bible is God's word for us. Please pray with me, and then we will release or dismiss our children to go to the children's church. Heavenly Father, we come before you again, leaning on the promises that you have made in your word, praying that you minister to us, praying that your word accomplishes its purpose today, praying that we glorify you in this place. How we pray, Father, that you may speak to the deepest parts of our lives, and that you may show yourself strong on our behalf. In Jesus' name, may everyone say, amen. You may be seated. Children, feel free to go. It's different when you hear people telling you that they pray for you, and when you actually hear them or listen to them praying for you. In fact, many people that claim to pray for you may not be praying for you. My mother used to tell me almost every time I met with him when I was a teenager, because at age 12, I wasn't living with my mother, I was living with friends. By the time I was 13, wherever I visited her, she would tell me, I am praying for you. But I think it was several years later when I had come to visit her, and the door wasn't closed. It was partially open, and I could hear her praying. And she had started with my sister, because I'm the second born. And she prayed for her And then she said, Lord, this is for Valerian. And I could hear her voice. She was crying. She was lamenting as she prayed. And I stood there outside her room just listening to her. And I'm telling myself, I want to hear what she's going to say about me. And that's the day that I realized that my mother knew more about me than I thought. I was a lost young man. And I had my mother crying to the Lord on my behalf. And she prayed for me. She continued praying for me. And it was so hard for me to continue standing there. So I left. Said, let me give her some few minutes, then I'll come back. We are nine in my family. So if she was going according to that order, it was going to take some time. So I came back maybe after half an hour. And she was still praying. And she was still praying for me. That made me conclude that I must have been the worst in that family. So I left and I came to her the following day. And she told me, I pray for you. And I told her, I know. Of course, I told her the story. I strongly believe, not only because of that particular prayer, but because of the prayers of my mother, I strongly believe that the Lord used her prayers to reach unto me. I strongly believe that what the Lord is doing in my life today has a direct connection with the prayers that my mom was praying, and she is still praying today. Last week, she sent me a text, a voice message of her praying. It was past midnight in Kenya, and she was praying. So I had to call her to know what's going on. I thought something had happened. And she said, no, there's nothing wrong. But she recorded herself praying and then she sent it to me. When I read of Jeremiah here lamenting for what is happening to God's people, and in chapter 3, in the rest of the chapters, he's focusing on the nation. He's lamenting for the nation of Israel and the pain that God's people are going through, the difficulties, the discouragements, the captivity, the destruction of the city. He's lamenting that in all the other chapters, but when it comes to chapter 3, he brings it down to himself. It's personal. And I believe there's a reason we have this book among the books of the Bible. I think what Romans 15 verse 4 says is very relevant here. It says, for everything that was written in the past, Romans 15, 4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures, and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. There's a difference when you are weeping and crying and lamenting, and you're not expecting any results. But there's a difference when you are weeping and crying and lamenting with hope. There's a difference when we are grieving the death of someone who never knew the Lord, and when we are grieving the death of someone that knows the Lord. There's a difference. Because on one side, we are shedding tears of despair. And on the other side, we are shedding tears of hope. We cry because they have been taken away from us. We grieve because of the separation. But we have hope because we will see them again. And on the other side, we grieve because of the separation, but we also grieve because we will never see them again. That's why I say, as Christians, we do shed tears, but our tears are tears of hope. We cry, we lament. And this is what I see Jeremiah doing. This is the same thing I saw my mother doing. She was crying to the Lord because she believed that the Lord was able to do something about her cry. As she lamented on my behalf and on behalf of my other siblings, she was lamenting with hope. The same thing is happening to Jeremiah here. We all know how it feels when we hear heartbreaking news, when we receive a call that a loved one has died, or when we receive a message from the doctor concerning the results of our diagnosis. When we see our culture slowly drifting away from God, when we see our children, the same children that we brought up knowing the Lord, when we see them turning away from the Lord slowly until they want nothing to do with Him, we all know how it feels. We know that pain, that sorrow that grips our hearts. When we share the gospel with our loved ones and they want nothing to do with it, we know how it feels. And in this fallen world, there is so much that makes us grieve. There is fear, there is confusion, there is just so much. Just this past week alone is enough to send you to a psychiatrist. Yeah. You know, it makes you ask yourself, when will the Lord come through? It makes you ask, am I living in this world? Is this happening here? Is this real? Am I dreaming? Will God come through? There is so much in this world that is enough to make us grieve. And I believe many of us here, because of your personal experiences, you can identify with Jeremiah because you know how it feels. You have been there. Some of us are there. Some of us right now are lamenting to God, either on behalf of ourselves or on behalf of others. We know someone who is going through pain. As a church, we know a number of our own members that are going through difficulties right now. We know there's a reason they're not here with us today because of what they're going through. And because of the love that we have for Christ and for them, when we think of them, we cannot avoid to lament. If you are as faithful as we expect a Southside Bible Fellowship member to be, then at least you pray for others. And if you are as sincere as you should be in your prayers, then when you are praying for people that are going through difficulties, I'm thinking of someone like Marjorie. I'm thinking of Madeline. I'm thinking of Dawn. I'm thinking of these people, and I can't avoid crying to the Lord on their behalf. And my cry is not one of hopelessness. It is a cry of hope. It is my hope and prayer that the Lord will use this message to help us, to encourage us, and to teach us how to deal and respond to situations that are attempt to bring despair to our lives. There is so much in this world that is heartbreaking. So let us look at this passage here. I'm going to give you three lessons that you can take home with you. Number one, Jeremiah says, in verse 17 to 20, I have been deprived of peace. I've forgotten what prosperity is. Everything that I was looking unto, everything that I cherished, everything that I enjoyed, the dreams that I was pursuing, I have forgotten about them. I don't even know how it means to prosper. I don't know how it means. I don't have the peace that I used to have. My splendor is gone, and all that I had hoped from the Lord. He's deprived of peace in verse 17. He is in despair in verse 18. He's filled with bitterness. When he remembers his afflictions, when he remembers his experiences, the pain and the difficulties, he is filled with bitterness. It is very easy to recognize someone who is filled with bitterness, because they are quick to show, to reveal their feelings. When you are walking, carrying in bitterness because of things that happened in your past, issues that you haven't dealt with, you have not confronted them. That bitterness is like a frog in you that is waiting for someone to just touch it so it can jump. And we do have Christians that are walking with bitterness. When they are in a crowd, you can see them smiling and laughing, but just wait when they are alone and just look at their face, and you will see the bitterness that grips them because it shows. And Jeremiah is, he's out there. He's showing us, he's letting us know his feelings. Number one, the first thing that we learn here is that we should express our feelings to God. Express your feelings to God, like Jeremiah. Go before the Lord and cry out to him, like my mother. Go before the Lord and cry out to him. He is the only person that will be able and willing to hear everything that you can say. And some of the things you may not be able to say them before other people. But the Lord is willing to listen to you. We should be able to express how we feel to God. When we are deprived of peace, when we are in despair, when we are filled with bitterness, when we are discouraged. If you are living in New England, probably you are used into saying, I'm all set, or I'm good. Now let me just remind you that you are not all set. You are not good. In fact, the Bible says there is no one who is good, not even a New Englander. Not even one. I think it's Romans 3:10, if I'm not wrong. There is no one who is good, not even one. We are all broken. That's why when you look at our vision statement, we are saying that we seek to connect with people from all walks of life and encourage them to know Christ. Because we are all broken and there is only one person that is able to fix us, and that person is Jesus Christ. So instead of saying, I'm all set, or I'm good, why not say I'm broken? Oh, how are you today? I'm broken. What? And that might give you an opportunity to share the gospel. Jeremiah is revealing himself here. Telling God how we feel is the first step that shapes our perspective. Our perspective on life and on the issues that we face in this life. Telling God how we feel helps shape our perspective. Number two, you look at verse 21 to 23. He says, after expressing how he feels, all the frustrations and the bitterness, he says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. He unpacks that. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Number two, we should remember God's faithfulness. The only time you can lament with hope is when you remind yourself that even though I am going through this now, I know that God is faithful. I know that great is His faithfulness. His compassions are new every morning. That means every day you wake up, there is a new compassion from the Lord. His love is unfailing. We should remember God's faithfulness. We should remind ourselves of His faithfulness. This is where repentance happens. This is where repentance happens, because this is where Jeremiah's change of mind takes place. This is where he stops focusing on his problems and he begins focusing on the Lord. He says, I recall this, I remember this, and it gives me hope. It changes my attitude, it changes my behavior, it changes my response when I remind myself of the Lord's faithfulness. This is where repentance happens. When I talk of repentance, I'm talking of a change of mind. Like the prodigal son, when he was feeding pigs, and then we are told when he came back to his senses, he changed his mind. He remembered his father and how good his father was to his servants. And he said, I am going back to my father. He remembered his father's faithfulness to his servants. As someone who does not know the Lord, someone that is not saved, you come to the Lord when you realize that this God that I have been hearing about, this Jesus that died on the cross, and I've been told He shed His blood, and I've also been told by the shedding of His blood, I can have my sins forgiven. When you have to get to a point of acknowledging that this Jesus will do what He says He will do when I turn to Him. As someone that is without Jesus Christ, when you are turning to Jesus Christ, you are turning to Him because you are acknowledging that He must be faithful. He will forgive me when I ask for forgiveness. He will bring me to His family when I turn to Him. And this is the message that we bring to everyone who does not know the Lord, that the Lord is faithful and He has promised to forgive you and to save you when you turn to Him. Regardless of where you are coming from, regardless of your lifestyle, regardless of who you are, He is waiting for you to say, here am I, Lord, please forgive me and save me. And He promises to do it because He is faithful. Isn't it good that every morning we wake up, we can rely on God's compassion and mercy and love? Every morning. You don't rely on His yesterday's compassions. You rely on His today's compassions because they are new every morning. I think it's a good thing to remind ourselves to know that His great love is keeping us and His compassions never fail. Because the enemy will want you to focus on your pain. The enemy will want you to focus on fear. God wants you to focus on His faithfulness. The enemy will want you to despair. God wants you to have hope. He wants you to know that despite everything that is happening, all the chaos and all the confusions, He is in control. He wants us to know that. So for some of you that are asking, will God come through? I'm glad you asked. Yes, He will, because He is a faithful God. As we cry out to God in sorrow and in fear about all that is happening around us, let us remember who God is and what He has done and what He is doing in our lives. God knows what He is doing. He knows. And listen, don't sweat yourself for the things which only God can do. Don't. Don't sweat yourself for the things which only God can do. Number three, look at verse 24 to 26. He says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Now, I believe this is where the author wants us, he was bringing us to. He's saying, yeah, you can see the destruction, you can see the pain, you can experience the fear, you may lose your dreams, but when you remind yourself of God's faithfulness, your hope is renewed. And then you realize that you can wait on the Lord. So number three here is wait on the Lord. We should wait on the Lord. And this is the message that I have for you today. Wait on the Lord, and again I say, wait. Why? He is good to those who hope in Him, those who trust in Him, those who rely on Him. The Lord is good. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. When you realize that this God is faithful, you will realize that He is worthy waiting for. Now, waiting is one of the most difficult things to do, especially if you are an American. I've been here, he was to be here at 11. It's 5 minutes past 11. I can't wait anymore. In one of the churches in North Carolina, the pastor preached for 15 minutes more than his usual time. And by the end of his sermon, 15 members of the church fainted. They passed out. They couldn't wait any longer. I think that was a joke. Waiting is difficult. It's not what we want to do. We want things to happen at our time because we want to feel that we are in control. Waiting takes control out of you. But we all know That waiting is necessary in this life, and it is necessary in our relationship with Christ and with one another. We just have to wait. And then you wait, and then you move from waiting. When waiting matures, it becomes patience. Patience begins when waiting ends. Waiting is what you decide to do. Patience is what you become. Some of us are still struggling with waiting. The goal is to get us to patience. Wait on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord doesn't mean just sitting there and doing nothing. It means doing something with the understanding that the Lord is in control. It means turning to the Lord and acknowledging that without you, God, this cannot happen. Wait on the Lord. He is good to those who hope in Him. We wait on the Lord when we trust that He will come through, even though we may not know how. We wait on the Lord when we allow His faithfulness to dictate how we respond to our situations. When we wait on the Lord, He replaces our despair with His comfort and hope. My brother Jack Gilbert is here with us. Jack is a missionary. They are going to Spain with his family. And they have been waiting on the Lord to provide for them so they can go. They know that what they are going to do there is the Lord's will. But they also understand that they cannot just decide to go. And they are waiting on the Lord. As a church, we are supporting them. But I also want to encourage you as an individual, if the Lord has blessed you and you want to support a missionary, go ahead and support the Gilberts. Maybe they are waiting for the Lord to speak to you. Or maybe the Lord is waiting for you to respond. Waiting can be difficult, but waiting is what we do when we trust in the Lord, when we understand that He is faithful. And when we wait on the Lord, our grief turns to joy, and our fear turns to faith. When we wait on the Lord, we move from loneliness to a place of fellowship with the Lord and with others. We remind ourselves of God's faithfulness. That's the reason we wait for Him. Because He's faithful, we wait for Him. Because He is powerful, we wait. Because we know that He will come through, we wait. Let me give you three images here. When we are waiting on the Lord, we are saying, one, we are saying, Father, I know that you can hear me. I know that you can see what is happening in my life. I know that you care. I know that I can wait for you. I know that you will come through. When you are waiting on the Lord, we are saying, God, I know that because you are faithful, all things will work together for my good and for your glory. When we are waiting on the Lord, we are saying, Father, I don't know when you will come through, but I know I can trust you. I believe that you will show yourself strong on my behalf. Let me repeat that. Number one, when we wait on the Lord, we are saying, Father, I know that you can hear me. I know that you can see what is happening in my life. I know that you care. I know that I can wait for you. I know that you will come through. Number two, we are saying, God, I know that because you are faithful, all things will work together for my good and for your glory. And number three, Father, I know when, I don't know when you will come through, but I know I can trust you. I believe that you will show yourself strong on my behalf. So when we are waiting on the Lord, we are giving him control. We are submitting to his will. We are letting him dictate our steps. And there is no greater hope than knowing that God is faithful and that we can wait on him. My friends, there is only one word, one message I have for you, sorry, and that is to wait on the Lord. I don't know what is happening in your life right now. I don't know the questions you are asking about the nation, about your family, about your future, but I know one thing, that there is one person who is in control of our future, and that person is Jesus Christ. And we can wait on him. We can wait on him to do what he does best. We can wait on him to show himself faithful on our behalf and for his own glory. And if we choose to wait on the Lord, you and I will confess like Jeremiah and say, "The Lord is my portion. That I have chosen to stand with him. I have decided that I'm going to take his position, that I'm going to allow his steps to lead my steps. I know that there are times I'll be shedding tears. I know there'll be times that I will want to hide. There'll be times that I will want to run away. There'll be times that I'll be tempted to pretend that I'm all set and that I'm all good. But I know that deep inside there is pain, there is fear, there is confusion, and because I understand that the Lord is faithful, I am going to wait. Next week we are going back to Exodus. And one of the things you are going to learn is that by allowing the children of Israelites to go through the wilderness, God was actually teaching them to rely on him. Waiting on the Lord is not something that we can avoid. If we believe that he's faithful, it is something that we have to intentionally do. And we are waiting on him because we know he is faithful and we believe that he will come through. And so my encouragement to you is to wait on the Lord. How is he going to come through? I don't know. You know why I don't know? Because his ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. But I know that he is a faithful God. Father, I come before you this morning. I thank you for your people. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for the plans that you have for us, for the future that you have prepared for us, for the peace that surpasses all understanding, and for the hope that you give us by reminding us of your faithfulness. Lord, there are many among us that have questions, that are looking for answers. There are some that are asking when you are going to come through. Help us, Lord, to trust you and to wait on you. Give us what it takes to wait. And may you be glorified as you strengthen us, as you renew our hopes, and as you direct our steps. In Jesus' name, may everyone